Second hour of the program here on this Saturday. Force Company brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Here in hour number two, got a lot of fun stuff planned. We're going to get to our question of the day here. What is the messiest food you can eat? You can answer on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Frazier's Files coming up at 10:30, and then Chase McCabe, the suit, will join us live from Albany, New York, as he prepares to call the Nashville Cats and the Albany Firewards in the, is it the AF1 Crown Championship? Is that the name? It's not the Arena Bowl.
No, it's the AF1 Crown Championship.
Crown Championship.
Yeah. I like Arena Bowl better, though.
Me too.
I wish they'd be playing this in a mall.
Yeah.
The Mall of America. Isn't that where it was last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. No, this one is in Albany. The Cats looking for a championship, and you can listen to pregame coverage right here on 102.5 The Game and on 93.3 Totally Hit starting at 11:30 right after us. But first, let's get into our question of the day. Nick Frazier was in charge of it this morning, and he wants to know what's the messiest food you can eat. Wings has been discussed. I think that's going to be a popular answer. Yeah. Like, if you get some messy wings, not only do you need, like, a whole roll of paper towels, you're going to, like, it's going to be stuck on your hands for a while after that. So I think wings is probably one of the best answers you could have.
And also, ribs falls in this category, especially if they're, like, the sticky kind. You don't want sticky ribs. They're just, you know. Next one on the list for me, I don't know, maybe chili dog.
Yeah, chili dog will do it.
I love chili dogs.
We're 6 days away from the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Best sports event on planet Earth.
Sport is a stretch.
Sport is a stretch.
But we're not getting into that today. But I think ribs and wings are the two. Like, those are kind of the, like I mentioned, foods you don't want to eat on a first date. I think those are the two that are brought up the most.
Where are you going to eat ribs on a first date?
I don't know.
Wingstop?
Texas Roadhouse Josh from Nevada.
Cinnamon butter.
If you're going to Texas Roadhouse, you're getting a steak, pal.
Did you hear this on DVD yesterday?
I did not.
Apparently, Josh from Nevada, very faithful listener to the station, he was meaning to text his wife, but texted the station and was like, "Hey, honey, the kids are with your parents tonight. Let's go to Texas Roadhouse."
Take me with you, Josh.
Yeah, I'd love to go get some Texas Roadhouse. So, ribs and wings. I think you're right, chili dog. Earl on the YouTube chat says Sloppy Joe. That's a good answer.
Oh, I love Sloppy Joes, man. My answer would have to be Doritos / Cheetos. You get the dust on your hands.
On your fingers.
It's hard to get rid of that, you know. I've been thinking about it all week because a family friend of mine was talking about his biggest pet peeve is people that shake his hand after eating Cheetos.
Yeah.
Like, that is very specific, but I understand your pain. So he's a teacher. He works with my mom. So what they did for his birthday one time is they got him a card, and all the kids ate, you know, they got a big family size of Doritos and Cheetos and whatnot. They all ate the Cheetos. And then they stuck their fingers on the white card and handed it to him.
No.
He was not happy.
Adds a little sentimental value to it. There you go.
Kyle from Cookville on our text line says, saucy wings. Again, that's going to be very popular. But he also says homemade burritos can get pretty messy. Burritos would be a good one, depending on what you put in it. Like, if you're somebody who puts maybe some guac or queso or something like that, that's when it could get pretty messy.
And loaded nachos, too, on that level.
A lot of Mexican food in general, tacos can get pretty messy.
Mm. Do you eat nachos with a fork?
No. That's finger food.
Even loaded? You should go all in?
I mean, I guess it depends. If there's chili or something on it,
yeah,
then you might have to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like ground beef, you know.
Pulled pork.
Barbecue nachos sound good.
Oh,
I had some Thursday night. At the game.
Oh,
soccer,
really?
Very good.
Yeah, that does sound good.
You don't use fork with your nachos?
I don't. Well, like, maybe if you're sharing with a big group, like, you might, if you have the little plates, like, you kind of fork and knife it and put it onto your plate. But then I would go with the fingers.
Have you ever tried to eat Chinese with chopsticks?
Yes.
That's very messy.
I'm actually decently okay with chopsticks.
See, I don't like Chinese that much.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's one of my go-tos, but
I'll eat like sweet and sour chicken. I think is good.
Orange chicken's good.
Orange chicken's good.
Yeah,
I like dumplings, but that's about it.
You know what's grown on me? Sushi. I wasn't a big sushi guy.
And I do not like it.
Over the last couple of months, I've gotten sushi a couple times, and I'm a pretty big fan now. So I think it was the idea of the raw fish that just kind of like weirded me out. But once I got into it and started trying some different types of rolls, I'm into sushi.
There's a roll, I forget the name of it, but they put like a peach glaze on top of it.
Oh.
It's very good. You don't even taste the fish.
I've tried sushi before. My sister loves it.
Yeah.
You'd love it.
It's a white girl food.
It is.
Sure.
You got to go with the cooked sushi.
Oh. I don't know if I've done
that. That's not sushi.
Yeah.
That's just cooked fish.
Well, I mean.
Fish and rice.
Each to their own, you know.
That's fair.
So slightly off topic, but we're talking about weird foods. My buddy is off in the Cape Cod League calling baseball games. He says up there they sell burgers, but instead of buns, they're glazed donuts.
Oh.
So if you are interested in having
a
heart attack or a type 2 diabetes, please go to the Cape Cod League.
Yeah. Baseball knows how to make the weirdest possible foods. So like,
I've had a burger
like
that.
Is it the Rangers stadium that does the boomstick with like the 3-foot-long hot dog and it's like loaded up with queso and chili? And
Hal Gill in Madison Square Garden this past season got a massive like 5-foot-long hot dog. He would disappear often throughout the broadcast.
Does not surprise me.
For no apparent reason.
Does not surprise me. 5724 says a pie eating contest. That would get messy.
Yeah.
Pie in general depends on the pie.
What's your favorite pie?
Depends on the pie.
What's the best pie?
I'm a key lime pie guy.
Ugh.
I love me some key lime.
It's cherry, pal.
Apple pie?
And apple.
Pumpkin's good too.
Yes, pumpkin pie is good.
Pumpkin's underrated.
Jackson said crab legs and lobster. Is it bad? I've never had lobster before, I don't think.
You ever had?
I've tried it one time, but like not. I've never like gone and sat down and like the butter sauce and all that kind of
stuff.
Have
you ever done crawfish?
Yes. Yeah, we did a crawfish boil at my first house when I moved here.
I'm not a fan of crawfish, to be honest with you.
It was okay.
Really?
It's not great.
Fellas, you got to give it a second chance. It is a messy food, but I'm an eater that just doesn't care. Just
give me
a table and food. My hands are going to be messy.
I committed to the bit. I committed to the bit when I had crawfish. I got the bib with the lobster on it.
The potatoes.
Yeah. You got
to
commit.
I might have to do that.
Got to get the potatoes with it.
Really?
The whole potato? It's pretty good.
All right. 8586 on our text line says, cooked is not sushi. He agrees with us. I think there is a name for it, though, and I can't think of what it is, but I did a spicy salmon roll. Solid. Wes from Hermitage said Sloppy Joe nachos. It's his messiest meal, but he doesn't care who he eats in front of because it's that good. Wes also won the Braves tickets yesterday for Ask D-Mace, and he said if you haven't seen my live reaction video, you have to check it out on Facebook. So I might have to... Maybe during the break, we'll check that out.
I think you're the only one here that has Facebook. So
cooked...
I trust.
Cooked sushi, it's... Nigiri?
Yes. Yeah, that was the name I was thinking of. So
it's
615-737-1025. If you have more thoughts on the messiest meal, we are going to move on. I have a question for the show. I guess this can be Lyman's Lessons or whatever we're calling it. It's not officially labeled that in the grid, but
we'll get there.
I have a question. I would like the input of the show. We're going to get into that coming up next. Force Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5, The Game today, as well as 93.3 Totally Hits, as the Nashville Cats take on the Albany Firebirds in the AF1 Crown Championship for the first ever Arena Crown 2025. Pre-game starts at 11:30 right after us. Kickoff coming up at noon, with coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We will have Chase McCabe, who will be calling that game live from Albany, coming up in just under 30 minutes. Excited to talk with the suit. For this segment, we are the show that loves to talk about the college football video game. If you listened to us at all last summer, you know that pretty much for the month leading up to the game's release and a couple weeks after, we spent at least one segment talking about the game.
Mm.
The new college football video game comes out in just under 2 weeks, which means we have to start figuring out what teams we're going to be coaching. I have, in my online dynasty, which I play with some of my friends from college, I'm going to be coaching the Florida Gators. That has already been decided. Two of my other friends are in the Sunshine State at Miami and Florida State. Two others in the SEC. So I have, I've got some rivalries ready.
You put yourself right in the middle.
I did.
That was smart.
You know, you gotta give yourself a chance to tune up for the playoffs. Anyway, I want some help picking my offline dynasty where I, you know, climb my way up from a coordinator at a small school all the way to a national champion wherever I go. So I have narrowed it down to two options. Last year, I was a little bit more detailed in how I picked my team, ended up at Wyoming. This year, I just kind of looked through and I picked two that I like, and I want you three to vote.
If it's Delaware or Missouri State, I'll be mad at you.
No Delaware, Missouri State.
Okay, good. Don't be basic.
No, because that's just the new teams. Delaware was moderately intriguing, just because I like the Blue Hens. I think the uniforms are cool, but I did not go with them. So here are my two teams. I would like you guys to vote. Best out of three will be the one that I start with as the offensive coordinator. 85-86 on our text line says July 7th should be a federal holiday. I'm not going Deluxe Edition
either.
You know, the $30 extra just wasn't worth it for me.
Now, 25 is hung high in the rafters for me.
Yeah.
AKA placed on a high shelf and is retired.
I did play a game against one of my friends the other night, and, you know, we got a win. I was down 14 at halftime, outscored him 28-3 in the second half.
There you go.
For a win. Anyway, here are the two teams. First out of the Sun Belt, the Appalachian State Mountaineers.
Oh, I got some buddies that coached at App State last year.
Do I go to Boone? I felt like that was a popular one last year. I was, in terms of Sun Belt teams, I was between App State and James Madison. But
JMU would be fun.
I was pulled towards Boone, North Carolina.
They have a great stadium in the fall.
They do.
That you know, you can sing a song.
Right.
Oh, play me some mountain music.
Luke Combs went there.
He did.
So App State is my first option. The other, about as far as you can go in the opposite way.
Hawaii.
The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Where will Coach Lyman start in college football 26?
You know what? I like Hawaii.
You like Hawaii?
I think Hawaii.
The bows?
I like their colors. I think they got some great uniform options. They got the one helmet that has just the whole, all the islands on it. I think it's white. It's pretty sweet. They got green. They got black. They got white. I like the bows.
Okay. One for the bows.
If Hawaii has their 1985 throwbacks, they're all green with the white helmet.
I think they do. I think they do have that one in there.
I think you found your answer.
Is it Hawaii?
Yeah, and also I had a buddy of mine I played high school football with who played for Hawaii. And
really?
He's still out there. He loves it. He says it's a great place to live, great football atmosphere.
Okay, it might be decided, but were you thinking Hawaii too?
You know what? I can't lone wolf this thing, I guess. I do like Hawaii's rainbow uniforms, so.
So we're sweeping on the
bows.
Yeah,
sweep.
Wow. Okay, that was not the way I expected that to go.
If they have the 85 jerseys. If they don't, I think App State might be your place to go.
Still unnumbered.
Yeah. I'm just saying in general, though.
See, I thought it was going to go the other way. So I get back-to-back years, I'm going to be in the Mountain West, which is fine. The Mountain West is a fun league
to play.
You're just
a coordinator. You're just passing by.
I'm only going to be there for a year or two. And apparently they fixed the coaching carousel this year. So
I mean, you got those. Those are freaking sweet.
Okay, yeah, with the rainbows on the shoulders.
If you can see on the chat, they're white and they have rainbows on the shoulders.
Yeah.
They're pretty sweet.
I'm excited. So there it is. Jake Lyman will be the offensive coordinator at Hawaii to start off.
Is your coach's name Jake Lyman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for the show, kind of going off that.
Sure.
What you said, Nick. Do you guys support creating your own coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
No, I wouldn't.
I will not be taking.
I
over
do
a
as well.
A pre-existing.
There are some people that I guess aren't on that train, and it's weird to me. Like, why play as somebody else? You know, be genuinely you.
Yeah.
Coach Cletus, baby.
Especially for the offline one, I'm gonna be me, and you know, I'll make my alma mater Virginia Tech, and you know, we'll.
Now I find it intriguing. Because I'm going to create my own coach, but here's the thing, you get to hire a real staff.
Right.
Like real coaches.
Which I actually am excited for this year. It's very exciting. The coordinators are actually real coaches instead of just John Smith.
Well, I'm more excited, like, if a head coach gets fired, like let's say Mark Stoops gets fired by Kentucky, I'll bring him back as a DC or something.
Yeah, that is a good point. If any of these head coaches get fired, they could become your offensive coordinator, which is pretty cool. I don't know if I'm going to use my real name for the Florida one. I might make it one of the great players from Florida or something like that.
Tim Tebow is coaching the Florida Gators.
Coach Swamp Puppy.
Swamp Puppy. Maybe Urban Meyer can come back.
Yeah. Dan Mullen. Make Dan Mullen twice because he's coaching UNLV.
I could be Steve Spurrier.
Oh,
just
yeah?
Go, yeah, bring him back. Anyway.
Aaron Hernandez.
I'm excited. Hawaii.
And App State.
Something funny.
Yeah, Hawaii is going to be good. Do you guys have any idea where you're going to be starting? I know you're going to do a Kentucky one.
I'll probably start a Kentucky one, but I'm also between a few. I want to go a different route for my actual career. I'll be a coordinator, but I want to start at a low-end Power Four. So I'm thinking Georgia Tech.
I like that.
West Virginia. There was one more. Don't mind me. Let me just...
Maybe somewhere out west.
Yeah, maybe somewhere out west. Oh, Washington State.
Ooh.
That's what it was.
Pullman. I kind of like that. But then you're stuck in the Pac-12, which...
Well, I'll put together the
Oh, you're going to remake
Pac-12.
The Pac-12?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, yeah, that makes sense.
Speaking of, there's a new remake of the Pac-12. Going to be the Pac-8?
Yes.
If you guys saw that.
I saw Texas State joined. So, the conference champions is coming back minus the champions.
No, it's just a conference that
does
have the same
consider them a G5 school? Or?
Yeah, they're not a power. Just because they have the name Pac doesn't make them a power conference
anymore. Look at basketball. They'll have Gonzaga. That's about it.
Yeah.
It's fair.
And football, Boise's joining, right?
Yes.
So you have at least one team that's going to be decent. Washington State and Oregon State are usually fine. But, yeah, it's going to be weird to have that back without any of the actual staples of that conference. But, anyway, excited for the new game. It's coming out. Early access is in 9 days, and then the full game comes out in 12. So
it's going to go by quick.
It is. We only have one more show after this until we will be playing the game. So the show on, would it be July 12th?
Yes.
11th.
Nope, 12th.
I thought 12th was a Sunday.
No, because the 4th is a Friday. So, 12th would be the Saturday.
Oh.
So on the 12th, we'll have to recap our first experiences.
Yeah, July 12th, pick him up.
Rest in peace to Skillet, by the way.
That's going
to
be great. We're gonna play the game and eat out Skillet.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to take a break.
there it is.
Frazier's Files is coming up next.
Just a quick tease because...
Oh, yeah, what do we got for Frazier's Files?
You know, he mentioned Texas Tech, talked about the Pac-12 being the Pac-8. That's kind of where I lean towards for my college football dynasty.
Oh,
maybe okay. Texas State as a lower tier team, but my team I'm picking is Texas Tech.
See, I did think of Texas State.
Just
that
for
was
the
probably
line.
My third option behind Hawaii and App State. So lots of great options in the game.
But that whole Texas State thing to Pac-12, I'm gonna tell you how it affects Conference USA and MTSU.
Coming up next.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Frazier's Files is next. You're on Forrest Company. 102.5, 106.3. The game. Forrest Company.
It's an appropriate song after the thing I accidentally said.
Yeah, we might need Law and Order in here.
Can I issue an official apology to all of Nashville for saying that horrible thing?
I mean, we were talking about the messiest foods.
Oh my God, you just made it worse.
Put ribs in that. It's pork ribs.
Yep, pork ribs.
You're good.
Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. What a moment on the show in the last segment.
An all-timer. That'll go in my portfolio.
Yeah, that one will be clipped somewhere. I'm sure of it. It's time for Frazier's Files. You hear the Law and Order music. Frazier teased it, talking a little conference realignment here. Don't forget, Chase McCabe going to join us in the next segment, talking Nashville Cats. And you won't want to miss, at 11, the second edition of Where Are They Now? Connor Newt will host this week. Last week was an all-timer, so make sure you keep it right here. Nick Frazier, it's your segment. Take it away.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll get into all this now with the whole Pac-8. Maybe it's the Pac-12 conference, but now it's the Pac-8 going into the 26-27 season with Texas State leaving the Sun Belt and going to the Pac-12. Now, the whole situation brings into the domino effect of Conference USA, because then you have Louisiana Tech that's going to leave Conference USA, go over to the Sun Belt. They're trying to poach other schools as well. Western's been in that conversation, along with MTSU. The buyout of to get out of a conference is, I think, $5 to $10 million, depending on that number. So it could affect MTSU, and I think it's a beneficial thing if MTSU were to leave Conference USA. Because, one, it gives them a new landscape to, you know, experiment in other conferences. Maybe it makes them one of the better schools in the Sun Belt when if they were to move. I mean, $5 million, I think you can make that back in a calendar year, a school calendar year, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, and especially maybe if the TV deal's a bit better wherever you go next. Like, there's a reason that teams are leaving Conference USA.
Right. And I mean, no disrespect to MTSU, but you underestimate the promotion skills that they have.
Well, yeah.
Or rather, you overestimate.
Well, I'm just saying they might be able to get ahead of the curve when it comes to TV deals and just marketing their brand in general, because you have the new era of NIL, the new era of this salary cap in college football or in just college athletics in general. I think it's beneficial. And, I mean, nonetheless, you could add basketball to the equation. I think they'd be a powerhouse in the Sun Belt when it comes to basketball.
Right. It's football, obviously, is the main moneymaker, but it's not all about football.
Right.
And you got to give the other sports a chance to compete at the highest level. And the Sun Belt, in terms of group of five conferences, I think across the board, it's probably right there with the American is probably the next best.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, the Mountain West is solid. But
in basketball?
And everything. But
Among G5s?
Right. Yeah. Among G5s. I think the Sun Belt, you're seeing a lot of those teams start to take big strides, and they added James Madison to it. And, you know, my new school or my runner-up, App State, is solid in, you know, football, and we've seen them make some big wins in basketball. So I think the Sun Belt would be a good move for them. I don't really know exactly what the landscape of conference realignment is going to look like at that level over the next couple of years, but I think it's safe to say that there's going to be more changes as we move forward, because schools are always looking for the places where they can make the most money and solidify their spot in the new landscape of college football as it continues to change.
Yeah, and as an alumni, I mean, Connor's almost there. He's still at MTSU.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
It just, hopefully they didn't hear my comment and I won't be kicked out of school.
They love you over there, Connor. Kidding.
I feel so bad about saying that. It was such a
but
slip
up. You got to look at it from a bigger standpoint of, be ahead of the curve, like I mentioned before, because if you're not, then everybody else is going to leave Conference USA, and you're going to be stuck in the background thinking, well, we're one of the last teams in the conference. We're still going to be good, but, you know, we don't have much competition. Then that dilutes the whole purpose of them going for a big bowl game on New Year's Day or whatever that may be. I mean, nonetheless, MTSU's not going to go, what, 12-0 or whatever that is. But
right.
I mean, just
they could go a modest 7-5,
yeah,
8-4.
But yeah,
make a Bahamas.
In order to be the group of five representative in the playoff, you got to win 11 games minimum.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But then you're trying to make your schedule, and you're in Conference USA, and two or three teams that you normally play on a year-to-year basis are gone, like a Western Kentucky. Then you're thinking, well,
they'd play Western Kentucky would be a non-conference.
Well, yeah, rivalry game. But like at the same time, there are going to be some teams in Conference USA that actually help bolster your lineup of your schedule to help you get into the rankings aspect of the top 25.
But you're right, especially with the new college football playoff ranking where, you know, the G5 isn't going to have a bye anymore.
No.
They're going to be a low end, you know, 9 through 12 rank probably.
Most 11 likely, or 12.
Unless they are just absolute world beaters.
Right.
Like Boise State comes in and is just knocking the socks off of this their conference and playing solid non-conference games where they're playing, you know, we're going to beat Washington by 50 or something like that. That's the only way that I could see a G5 school be ranked in like the top six.
Looking at MTSU's schedule this year, their non-conference games are Austin Peay, which should be a win, at Wisconsin.
Loss.
Got to go jump around in Madison. Probably a loss. At Nevada. I don't know. How good is the Wolfpack?
They're decent.
They're okay.
That
should be.
That's in an NFL stadium, is it not?
No. They play in Reno.
UNLV, yeah.
Yeah, they play in Allegiant.
I would say that should be a good game. And then they host Marshall. Marshall's usually a decent Group of Five team, but that could be a winnable game in Murfreesboro.
I got a buddy that plays for Marshall.
Really?
Yeah. He's a running back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Man, MTSU, their first three Conference USA teams.
Did you swallow a bug?
No, it just my chin hit the microphone. I'm pulling his Rex Road, sorry.
I mean, I clobbered the mic last week. I right hook.
You did.
Right,
you Mike Tyson that thing.
The first three teams on MTSU's Conference USA schedule this year all were not FBS teams 2 years ago.
Hmm.
Delaware, Missouri State.
Yep.
Kennesaw.
Yeah. Kennesaw State on September 27th, then Missouri State. Oh, right. They go to the Wednesday schedule for a little bit there. They play three straight Wednesdays. And then, yeah, they wrap up towards the end of the season with FIU, Western Kentucky, Sam Houston, and New Mexico State. So, interesting schedule, but those first three Conference USA games, if you get off to a good start in non-conference play, maybe go 3-1 if you lose that game at Wisconsin, there's a chance that MTSU could be bowl eligible by the end of October, which that's a great step for Derek Mason in year two.
Huge turnaround, too, from a team that went from, you know, winning three games last year in the first year of the Derek Mason era, loses about half the team, you know, just from parting ways in the portal, and some guys went on to bigger and better things, like Amari Sanders, is that his name?
Is Amari? I should know
the wide receiver.
Yeah, yes. Went to Michigan State.
Yes, I can't remember his name.
But you mentioned though in their schedule, three of the teams they're playing this year in Conference USA were not FBS schools, which to me strengthens my argument as to why you need to leave Conference USA, because those teams that are coming in to see USA are looking at you as a conference powerhouse that's bolstering their schedule, that's bolstering their identity. You need to leave while you're ahead.
Right. I was about to make the same point of even if MTSU, like let's say the Blue Raiders went 11-1 this year. Just like throw it out there. Big year for Derek Mason. Their only loss is at Wisconsin. With this strength of schedule, I still don't think that gets you that Group of Five bid. Mm. Like they're going to look at the teams in the American and the Sun Belt and the Mountain West, and the strength of schedule is going to be significantly better that one of those champions is going to earn that bid. Would still be an unbelievable season, but you're right. If MTSU does want to compete at the top level of Group of Five, Conference USA may not be the place to be.
Right. It's starting to become the point where a lot of these FCS schools are trying to go to FBS. They go to these smaller conferences, which is the whole, like I said, the whole domino effect, the whole start of this was the Pac-12. Pac-12 is causing all of this. So it's opening more opportunities for these FCS schools to say, you know what, let's make the jump to FBS. Let's make some money. Let's do that. All because of the Pac-12.
It's going to be interesting. And we talked about the possible promotion relegation system a couple of weeks ago, but college football has a lot to sort out over the next few years because it has been such a, you know, the cliche is the wild, wild west of just, you know, schools leaving conferences all over the place and the transfer portal and NIL. Eventually, it has to get to a more stable place. But I think if you're a school like MTSU, you want to improve your standing before the gates kind of close. Because I think eventually it's going to settle down and schools are going to stop moving conferences all the time. You want to get yourself in the best situation before that happens.
Yeah, so your money can kind of settle down. And not just for the program, but for players as well. Recruiting, all that.
Going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a good point, and I'm excited to see what the new Pac-8 is. That are they going by the Pac-8?
They'll be the Pac-12.
It'll be the Pac-12.
Because it's branded.
I guess eventually. Well, they used to be the Pac-10.
Yeah, that's right. They did.
But I guess, yeah, we'll have to see what that looks like with the two stragglers still in there, Washington State and Oregon State, and all of the different teams that they've brought in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Our text and phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, the Nashville Cats are in beautiful Albany, New York for the AF1 Crown Championship today. Exciting game coming up between the Cats and the Firebirds. We're going to talk to Chase McCabe about that. But
the OTC.
Yes. The suit.
Please play that coming back.
I'm trying to look at this schedule because I know they played the Firebirds before, and I believe it was a really
it was close.
Tight
the Firebirds
game.
Won close,
right? And the Firebirds in general have been a powerhouse. Yes, on May 10th, man, a barn burner. Albany won 71-55. That was in Albany, so in this arena. So, in terms of arena football, a 16-point game is pretty close because
you can
come back from that in about a minute and a half. They actually did play earlier on in the year, too, here in Nashville, and the Cats lost that one close, 42-34. So Cats are 0-2 against Albany, but a team that they know, a team they've competed with, excited for this crown championship coming up with kickoff at noon. We will talk to Chase McCabe, who will be on the call for that game coming up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Yes!
The Tribal Chief is with us here on Forest Company. The Suit, Chase McCabe, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Time to talk a little Nashville Cats, as the Cats are in Albany today, taking on the Firebirds in the AF1 Crown Championship. Chase McCabe will be on the call with Big Joe Dubin. Chase, thanks for joining us. How is beautiful Albany, New York?
First off, Forest Company. Acknowledge me.
Yes. I chant yes. OTC, but you are not the OTC.
No, that would be Roman Reigns.
You are ATC. Yeah,
I'm excited. Things are good. We are sitting high atop here of MVP Arena. For those of you that are older than you guys, probably know this place is Knickerbocker Arena, but Royal Rumble 1992, in which Ric Flair won the WWF title, was Woo! In this building. But we walked the field this morning. Both teams are kind of out doing their thing, doing some warm-ups right now, getting ready to go in the Arena Crown Championship game. So it's really cool. Big Joe's here. We're excited to be a part of this and be able to bring this game to you on both Totally Hits 93.3 and right here on 102.5 The Game.
How cool has it been for you guys, calling the home games this year and now a chance to go win a championship today? I know this is an Albany team that you guys have seen before a couple months ago, and it was a great game, good matchup. I think we should have ourselves a fun game today.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, Jake, you probably know this feeling the first time you called a NCAA tournament game
right.
with the Vanderbilt Commodores, that it's kind of like it hits you. It has a moment where it's like, it doesn't matter the level. This is a professional championship game. And that's what Joe and I were kind of talking about last night and this morning. Man, this is really cool, especially when you walk out on the field and you know that it's all come down to this. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a cool experience. Sat and talked to Jeff Fisher last night, you know, just kind of about everything and watching this whole league evolve. They did a little awards banquet last night, gave out some league awards, including – our own Greg Pogue, Executive of the Year for AFL.
All right.
So shout out to Pogie for that. Was really neat. But it's just this thing's going to continue to evolve. And if you didn't get to a Cats game this year, next year you're going to want to go. Whether it's in Nashville or Clarksville or wherever the case, it's just it's fast-paced, it's fun, it's competitive. And these guys are, you know, going to leave it all out there today. So I think it's going to be a fun game, high-scoring game.
Chase, you being a Nashville local through, and as for myself and Connor, just if the Nashville Cats end up winning the crown championship of the AF1, what do you think that means just for the city and also the locals that have been here since day one?
Finally have a championship to celebrate. I mean, you know, we've talked about it on our show, Nick, you know, of that Nashville is now, I think, the last city with major sports that they don't have a championship. And look, I get it. Like, some people are probably going, arena ball, but it still counts. And I mean, this is a project that Jeff and his group have put together. I think it would mean a lot. I think it would be really cool to celebrate that. I mean, we were talking of, like, you know, what that moment would be like. And look, the odds are stacked against Nashville. I mean, this is an undefeated Albany team that last night they walked away with their quarterback. Sam Castronova's the MVP. Wide receiver Dwayne Brown's the Offensive Player of the Year. And Damon Ware, their head coach, is Coach of the Year, and they're undefeated. So, I mean, you look at this from an Albany standpoint, they're like, we got this. But Nashville has some swagger. They're coming in here confident. They've won four of their last five. You mentioned, Jake, the previous matchup against Albany. That was Tyler Kulka, the Cats quarterback's first game with this team, and they did keep it close. So I think this one, even though the spread's 9.5, is going to be a lot closer than maybe people think, and I think it would be really cool to see Nashville bring home a title.
All right, Tribal Chief, you are the coach of the Nashville Cats today. Knowing that the past two times you've seen this team, things haven't gone your way, what would your message be to the team in the locker room before the game?
Well, Darren Arbette is the coach, and that's a good thing because he has won 4 indoor championships, and he's going for his 5th today. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I would tell them you can't worry about the first two games because the first meeting, this team, this Cats team, has changed a ton because they've, you know, it was very early in the season. They're building this thing. And as I mentioned, the second meeting in Nashville, that was Tyler Kulka's first start with this team. So a lot's changed. They're more on the same page. They have confidence. The Cats just came out on the field, actually, and you can kind of feel that swagger that they have. But at the end of the day, you got to go out and just play the game. I mean, I know nobody likes that saying of, oh, it's just another game, it's a championship game, but that's the mindset that you have to have, and I think that's the message that Coach Arbette has sent to his team.
Chase McCabe getting ready to call the Nashville Cats and the Albany Firebirds in the AF1 Crown Championship. Pregame coverage coming up at 11:30. Chase, I know you're focused on the Cats up there in Albany, but big night for the Preds last night.
Yeah.
What were your initial reactions to the first round for Barry Trotz? Brady Martin, Cameron Reed, Riker Lee all selected by Nashville last night.
My reaction was when I put an opinion on Twitter, I got blasted and told I was carrying water for the organization because I'm the program director of the flagship. So
such is life.
I mean, all these kids are 18, 19 years old or younger. Let's just pump the brakes. Like, I know no one wants to hear that. Everybody wants me to get on and say Barry Trotz didn't know what he's doing and that was a bad pick. I don't know if it's a good pick or a bad pick or not. Like, I don't think anybody truly knows that. And I admittedly do not watch amateur hockey all that much. So everything I've read tells me that it might be a bit of a reach, that Brady Martin, I mean, the 5th overall pick, that they passed on Porter Martone and James Higgins. And I know a lot of people really wanted one of those guys. I can certainly understand the frustration there. I don't pretend to understand what Trotz and his staff saw, so I get it. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, they're not going to be here. That's how this typically goes. But Barry's been doing this a long time. He's forgotten more hockey than I'll ever know, so I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know much about the other two guys. I know they did address needs, did get a center, got a defenseman, got a winger, so we'll see. But I mean, it's also going to be 3 or 4 years before, you know, these guys, maybe Martin sooner, but will really help the Predators. But I was kind of surprised that the only trade they made was moving up to 21. I really thought that there might be a move for them to acquire a veteran player to add to this group, especially on defense. But I do know, unless something's changed, you know, that I've kind of been reading, that if Aaron Ekblad hits free agency, that could be one to watch.
Chase, were you surprised? I mean, obviously you were surprised at them not getting away those last two picks in the first round, but would you have preferred that if that were to take place?
It's a really good question, Nick. Probably yes. It goes back to the question that I asked Barry in his press conference and Jared then, you know, asked when they sat down. What lane are you in? Are you in the win now, be competitive now mode, or build for the future? And right now he's kind of in the middle of the highway going for both. And, you know, as Willie has said, there's no reason you can't go for both, but at some point you might have to pick a lane. My preferred lane probably would have been more the build for the future, which is what he's, I guess, what he did. So but I was surprised because I thought he was going to continue to try and do both and add, you know, especially a defenseman. And I'm sure he made calls and talked to other GMs and probably just felt the price was too high to pass on that, and so he ended up doing what he did. I'll be curious if 35, they had the 3rd pick today in the 2nd round, and what they do there. But I did think that there was going to be some movement and a player was going to be acquired.
Tribal Chief, have you requested that Night of Champions be played on the Jumbotron? And if not, do I need to make a phone call to Albany?
So you'll appreciate this, Connor. on the game notes that I'm holding up on the video stream, Nick Guerrero, who does a great job of putting all this together, under the Cat Bites, the notes, it says Night of Champions, King of the Ring, Kulkamania for Tyler Kulka,
Kulkamania,
the quarterback, the Triple Threat. So there's definitely some Nick, being a fellow wrestling fan, has worked that in. Yeah, I do wish it was on. I've debated, do I have it on a screen while I'm trying to call the game, or do I just go watch it later? I'm probably going to just watch it later. So
I'll stay in
your
ear.
But I know you'll keep me posted, too.
I'll stay in your ear. The punk life kicks off later today.
That was pretty good.
That's great.
That was definitely pretty good.
Chase, hope you have a great call. Go Cats. And I do want to let you know, if the line judge is a little bit late, just know Jake Wallman is booking it after the show to get up there in time.
Well, he needs to get here. That is for sure. Thanks so much, guys. We'll have pregame coverage at 11:30. We have a great conversation with quarterback Tyler Kulka and also head coach Darren Arbett. But really looking forward to it, and appreciate you guys.
Yep. Thanks, Chase. Hope you have a great call. Cats and Firebirds coming up, 11:30 pregame, noon kick in the AF1 Crown Championship. All the coverage right here on 102.5. The game and 93.3 totally hits. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for one of the fastest growing segments in all of sports talk radio.
Watch out, Celebrity B-Days.
Where are they now? This week, hosted by Connor Newt. That's up next as we get into our final 30 minutes here on this Saturday. Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.